Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first to that search, which is beginning in North Dublin this morning. This is in connection with the disappearance of a child who Gardaí suspect has died. This child is a boy who would now be 7 years old and hasn't been seen for at least 3 years when he was around 3.5 years old. In a moment, I'll speak to Keelan Gallagher, KC, international human rights lawyer and Ireland's special rapporteur on child protection. First, though, Conor Lally is crime and security editor with the Irish Times and is on the line. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Claire.
So, Conor, the search that's beginning this morning, I mean, this investigation is moving really quickly, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the inquiry really only started last Friday. And obviously we have an area of land now in Donabate sealed off that was taken charge of last night by a Garda search team. And there's a search and excavation there getting underway today. And that's due to take place over the next 48 hours or so. So really, as you say, it's rapid progress for an inquiry that really only started last Friday. And, you know, sad and all as the case is, Gardaí are quite hopeful that the boy's remains will be found at this plot of land that's being searched today. And if that is the case, a postmortem could be carried out then, and obviously that would be able to establish the child's cause of death and when the child died. And really that would be important for Gardaí, because at this stage they're trying to establish if the case is one of homicide or if possibly the child died accidentally or from some other cause. So really it will be very important to find the child's remains, and Gardaí are quite hopeful that that will happen fairly quickly.
Okay, so based on what you have been able to find out, and clearly this is, you know, what the guards believe, is that there is a good chance now that this search this morning or at some point today will yield results on this piece of land.
Absolutely. I mean, the Gardaí were first alerted last Friday by Tusla. Now, it does appear that the concerns were raised when some kind of social welfare claim was being claimed in relation to the boy. Some questions were raised about that claim, and the answers that came back, you know, weren't satisfactory. So Tusla became involved then. It carried out its own brief inquiries, and then it raised its concerns with the guards last Friday. An inquiry then was started, and the Gardaí spoke to several people who would have known the boy. And they really spoke to them separately, and based on information that they could glean from them, the guards have come to the conclusion that the child likely died around 4 years ago when he was approximately 3.5 years old, and that his remains were then buried in order to conceal his death. So really, I guess the big unanswered question is how this child could vanish 4 years ago and the alarm wasn't raised back then. And I guess the task at hand now for the guards is to try and find the remains of the child, and that would be a big breakthrough in the case.
So this child would be about 7 now.
This child would be about 7 now. He was living in the gallery apartments in Donabate, Gardaí believe, until around 4 years ago. And then he vanished at that point. But unfortunately, this was not reported to the guards at the time. And if he died, as Gardaí believe he did around that time, his remains were then taken and they were buried secretly. Obviously, all of this is illegal and, you know, highly unusual. And Gardaí are really trying to carry out their inquiries now to get to the bottom of what happened as mm-hmm. quickly as they can, because this is obviously a very, very concerning case.
Yeah, this poor little boy was obviously a preschooler, and this was in COVID times as well. We're talking 2020, 2021, so he wasn't likely in the school system at that point.
He wasn't in the school system at that point. We don't know if he was going to, you know, any form of creche or play school at that time. But as you say, Claire, this was during a COVID period. And really at that stage, if this boy vanished around 4 years ago, you would have been looking at periods of lockdown for about a year and a half approximately at that stage. So it may be a thing where he wasn't going to any form of preschool. His circumstances may have been isolated from other people who lived in the area. And this may, in some way, explain why he vanished, and really there was no concern about him taken to the guards, so an inquiry could start at that point. Having said that, I think it is still very, very unusual that a 3.5-year-old child could just, you know, vanish and nobody would realise that he was gone or take any of their concerns to the guards. I mean, that is highly unusual, even if we are speaking about a period of lockdown back in 2020 and 2021.
Okay, well, we'll speak more about that now. But Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Conor Lally there from the Irish Times, who tells us, as you heard, that his information is that the Gardaí expect this search today to yield some results. I'm also joined by Keelan Gallagher, KC, who is international human rights lawyer and barrister and also Ireland's special rapporteur on child protection. And Keelan, you hear Conor posing the questions, I suppose, that all of us are asking around this case. How could something like this happen? What's your reaction in general to what you've been hearing?
Of course, very helpful to have that information from Conor, and very positive to hear about how quickly things are moving and the view that's being taken by the Gardaí. Just at a human level, of course, this is horrifying and heartbreaking. And I very much understand the public concern that I'm seeing overnight about how this could happen with a 3.5-year-old child. And you often hear that phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. But there's also that real question about us needing to have a village to watch out for children, so we spot when things go wrong. There are some very definite differences with the case of Kyron Dernan we know already. So we know that this was a preschool child. We're talking about lockdown times. So it may be that this child wasn't necessarily, disappearance of a child in those circumstances is not as apparent as in non-COVID, non-lockdown times, and when a child is of compulsory school age, for example. And the other key question, which is outstanding, of course, is whether this child was known previously to any of the authorities. Did this child have a social worker? Had there been any previous references of concern to the Gardaí and so on? And there's nothing whatsoever to indicate at the moment that this child was on the radar of any authorities. So from what we know, it sounds as if when Tuzla learned of the concerns after the social welfare claims, they responded quickly. They raised questions with the Gardaí, rather bizarrely, on the anniversary of Kyron Dernan being reported missing. Gardaí have acted quickly and things are in process. Mm-hmm. So it's a horrifying and heartbreaking case. But actually, at the moment, I don't see, from the publicly available information, which is all I've got, I don't necessarily see that in terms of institutional responses, this raises the same types of concerns that we have in the horrendous case of Kyron Dernan.
Okay. And as you say, this is a coincidence. These cases are absolutely not related. But the fact is that we have two cases of children who have been missing for years and not reported missing at the time that they disappeared. Does it ask questions of the state, of all of us really, whether there should be another system put in place for monitoring children so that red flags are raised in a more timely manner?
Of course. Now, when you're dealing with a child who's of compulsory school age and they go missing, or when you're dealing with a child who has an open social services file and they go missing, both situations, as far as we're aware in Kyron Dernan's case, that raises far, far more serious concerns about how a child can go missing in those circumstances. Now, here, I'm obviously extremely concerned by what I've heard about this child, and my heart goes out to this child's loved ones. I think there are real questions about whether at any stage, including preschoolers, but also including children who are post-compulsory school age, whether we need to have better systems in place for ensuring that vulnerable children, children who may be at risk, are on the radar. And one of the things that's been of concern to me since learning of Kyron's case last year is the case of Victoria Climbier in England and Wales. I don't know if you recall that, Claire,
yes,
but that was a horrendous case.
I think people will remember that case. Yeah, and you might just tell us a little about it.
That's a young girl, of course. That's a young girl who, in fact, we now know was abused over a long period of time behind closed doors by a relative and a relative's boyfriend. And ultimately, and it happened in England and Wales, and it was a real watershed moment for child protection in England and Wales, because people thought, how on earth could this happen under our noses and nobody noticed it? And what happened in that case was there was a full, transparent public inquiry into whether the child protection systems in place in England and Wales at the time were good enough and were fit for purpose. And that ran in parallel to a police investigation. And in fact, the police investigation ultimately resulted in prosecutions and convictions. So it is very possible to have a transparent process like that, which looks at questions like, were the institutions fit for purpose? Could we have better systems in place? How do we prevent something like this happening in future and protect children? You can ask those questions and do those processes simultaneously mm-hmm. to having a Garda investigation. So I don't make any comment about today's case, which I've just learned about, but in Kyron's case, I've been very clear from the outset. My view is that the existing processes happening in Kyron's case are important, but not sufficient. So we know of two processes already. There's first of all, the Garda investigation, which is critical. Of course, can't say more about that. And secondly, we know that Tuzla conducted its own internal review. That's an important thing for them to do, of course. And then it got referred to the National Review Panel. Now, they're both behind closed door processes. They don't involve a wide range of stakeholders asking questions. They don't involve questioning of evidence in the way that you would have in an inquiry type setting. And critically, they're not transparent. And I think one of the concerns that's arising now, a year on since Kyron's disappearance being reported, is a real question for people. People feel uneasy. And one of the advantages of having a public type process, a transparent process, like the Laming Review, which happened in England and Wales after Victoria Climbier's death, is it can reassure the public that lessons are in fact being learned and that processes are being changed, so you never have a horrifying case like this again in the future.
Right, so what you're saying is that you don't need to wait for one process to end to begin another process. And you've made this clear. We're not insinuating that there may be criminality involved in either of these cases, because we simply don't know yet. But in the Victoria Columbia...
There's questions to be answered. And at the moment, those questions are being answered behind closed doors, which I think contributes to public concern. And you've, of course, got to do it carefully, because once you've got active Garda investigations, you need to make you need to be very careful to ensure that you don't prejudice any ongoing criminal investigations. But there are ways in which that can be done in a safe way. And the Victoria Climbier case is a good example of that.
Did anything change in the aftermath of that case when it comes to monitoring and reporting?
Very much so. So in Victoria Climbier case, it resulted in an entire change to the legislative and policy approach in England and Wales. It resulted in a new piece of legislation, the Children Act 2004, a whole new system of review, and the Every Child Matters system. So it resulted in root and branch reform. And that's why with Kyron's case, I thought this is a case so horrifying. This should be a watershed moment, which makes us look again at our systems, because I'm very conscious that many of your listeners will be thinking, well, these are two horrendous cases, and I'm sure their hearts will be going out to the children and their unknown fate and what on earth may have happened to these two little children. But they'll also be thinking, I'm sure, about the many other cases that they keep hearing about concerns in the child protection system. So things like, we've just had a review related to the Grace case, for example. We've just had an inquest in the last number of months about a young boy known to Children's Services who, of course, went missing and was then killed. We've had a whole range of cases raised by Judge John Jordan, for example, about the serious issue about beds. So people will think, well, I'm hearing concerns again and again and again about child protection systems. So I think there is a real public level of concern wanting to know whether the systems are fit for purpose. And seems to me, rather than just dealing on a firefighting basis with each individual case when they arise, we need to have a much more radical look at whether our systems do the job and whether they're protecting children in Ireland as well as they could be.
So perhaps you're not talking about a review that would specifically deal with any one case, but this is a broader look at how we are taking care of, in particular, vulnerable children in Ireland.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think on some of the small silo issues, you know, progress has been made. For example, I'm very pleased to see that Minister Norma Foley recently looked at the issue of cross-border cooperation. Because, of course, in Kyron Durland's case, there's a very particular issue about it being said that he was going across the border to school in Northern Ireland and falling through the cracks at that point. So I am conscious that a lot of good work is being done on specific issues. But it feels to me every time we do that on child protection, it's reactive. We wait until the next crisis hits, until, you know, brilliant work is done by people like Conor Lally, uncovering issues. There's public concern, and then there's a political response. And it seems to me we need to proactively look at our child protection systems and why we're repeatedly getting these horrifying cases. I don't put today's case into that category, because I simply don't know enough about it to know. And there's nothing at all from the information I've seen publicly about this heartbreaking new case to suggest that this child was known to the authorities beforehand. So I think this might be quite a different case but it, of course, at a human level, raises the same type of concern as Kyran Dernan's case. But it feels structurally like quite a different case from the information that's currently known.
All right. And it remains to be seen what the outcome will be. But we take your general point that we need to look at this in the round. And I think there are very few who would disagree with you this morning. Keelan, thank you for taking the time to be with us. That's Keelan Gallagher.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Ireland's Special Rapporteur on Child Protection.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.